Well, I would appreciate your prayers this morning. The Lord would bless his word to us. The burden that the Lord has been talking to me about is a burden that is applicable to me. It's needed by me. And I believe applicable to every one of us that are still living. Spoke last weekend about the reward that is laid up for every one of us. There is a crown waiting for all those that love his appearing, and what a hope that gives us. And I believe it's one that many people are living for and hoping for and expecting to see, and many even in the world would tell you that they believe to be their life's end. But we're not there yet. And the scriptures teach us that he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. The burden that I have from the Lord this morning is a call, a reminder for us to be watchful and prayerful, to watch and pray. I'd like to turn to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. First Peter chapter 5 and the 8th verse says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Well, I don't want to just dwell too long today on the devil. But you know, every one of us are warring against him. Every one of us are going to have to contend with him. There's not a person in the world that the Lord has brought into this world and given a soul that's not going to face the enemy of our soul, that's not going to face the devil, Satan. It's not a popular idea in our world today. Let's just focus on the bright and the hopeful and the cheerful and the happy and all. But every one of us have an adversary of our souls who is out with a purpose, with an intention, with something that he's trying to accomplish. Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but for to what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy." That is the enemy's purpose. It always has been. He was a liar from the beginning. I don't believe that the enemy just became defiled. I don't believe that the enemy just got worse and worse over time. And as I mentioned a moment ago, there's not a soul that the enemy overlooks, doesn't see, escapes his notice, or that the enemy looks on and says, "Well, I'll have pity upon that soul." Compassion and love and mercy and pity are not traits that belong unto the enemy. They belong unto the Lord, and Satan is diametrically opposed to everything that God is. We see a picture in Job whenever the enemy came to present himself before the Lord. And he was asked, "Where do you come from?" And he said, "I've been walking to and fro throughout the earth, walking up and down and going to and fro throughout the earth." Well, what's the enemy doing walking up and down and going to and fro? The scripture here says, "Your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion who walketh about seeking whom he may devour." That is the enemy's purpose. It's his goal and ambition. And he's not just sitting idly by. Oh, their analogies was looking early this morning at a spider that had cast its web on her porch and just sits by and waits for the prey or breakfast to wander into the web. Well, that holds its true analogies in our life. But the enemy is not just sitting idly by, just to see if by chance we happen along into The enemy is walking about. The enemy is actively seeking, pursuing, looking for those that he may devour. You know, the enemy is stronger than any one of us in our own strength. So who can he devour? It says whom he may devour. You know, it gives me hope that the enemy is not able to devour everybody. That there are those that the enemy is not able to touch. Not because of who they are, or how they were born, or what all they know. But there is a place that we can be in our lives that the wicked one, the song says, the wicked one toucheth him not. How safe is the soul that abides in the Lord, securely from sin hid away. Oh, there is a place in the Lord that we don't have to go around in fear. This is not to be just a message of dismay. And as the song was discussed this morning, I heard a voice say, you're doomed now for a. Oh, it's all over and all gone. Thank the Lord that there is escape from the snare of the fowler. That there is a safe place in the Lord that we can abide. I don't want to be one of those whom the enemy may devour. The enemy is active. The enemy is busy. The enemy is working. And so must I. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Resist the enemy. You know, one of the most important parts of warfare is to know where the enemy is, to know who the enemy is, to know what the enemy's doing, and to try to anticipate what he's going to do next. And if you can do those things, you have a great advantage in natural or literal warfare. To be able to understand who is the enemy. Do we see where the devil is today? The devil is active in our world. The enemy and his imps are active in our world. The prince of the power of the air is spreading and pervading his influence throughout this world. And yet many people are oblivious to the very forces, the very thing that is motivating them, that is influencing them, because he doesn't come like the picture show with pitchfork and a forked tongue and whatever. He doesn't come red with horns on and appear unto us. And I say, that's the devil. I don't want anything to do with him. The scripture says that even Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He is a master of disguise, not to give undue credit, but he has been at this for many, many years, not portraying himself as he is, because his goods, his wares that he's trying to sell, bring with it death and destruction and heartache and harp. And you can't sell that. So the enemy has to disguise who he is and how he's working. It is important for us to know who the devil is. It is important for us to be able to recognize the enemy, to be able to discern right from wrong, to be able to discern good from evil in a time where those are being so blurred together that you can't distinguish between the two. This world is pursuing after that which they can see with their eyes, and so losing faith in God, and I believe even recognition of the reality of their spiritual adversary, where this battle really is. As Paul said, to remind us, our warfare is not carnal. It's not with flesh and blood. It's not with things and people and and systems that we see with our eyes. That's not our battle. There is a spiritual influence. And I believe if we could see the spirits that are at work in our world, if they were suddenly to take visible physical form, I believe there would be such a horror upon the hearts of people to realize that thing that I have led into my home, that thing that I have brought into my car with me, that thing that I have been palling around with, the true face of what it really is. Lord, help us to be able to see in that in our deceitful age that we live in, that sin would still appear exceeding sinful to us. To be able to see the horror of who Satan is and what he's doing and to want nothing to do with it. What does the scripture say? Cleave to that which is good. Abhor that which is evil. That there needs to be in every one of us a clear discernment and understanding of who the devil is, of where he is. You know, it is much easier to recognize the devil at work in the other political party. To see the devil at work in my enemy over there. It's easier to see the enemy at work in somebody else and to recognize that. The world can see problems with other people. But do we see where the enemy is trying to work in our lives? Trying to work. Where the enemy has his sights set in my heart and in my life. Do we understand what the enemy's playbook is? You remember, wasn't Elisha, I believe, whenever the enemy was coming up against the people of God, and it seemed like every time that they would try, their efforts were thwarted. And they would try to devise this scheme and launch a surprise attack, and they were met right there to the point that the king said, somebody among us is a traitor. And is informing them what we're doing. No, it's not one of us. But there is a God in heaven that whispers in the ear of the man of God over there. We do not have to fall prey to the enemy. We do not have to fall prey to his devices. Paul said we are not ignorant of his devices. They don't have to escape our notice. And we go through life being blindsided time after time after time again. And saying, where did that come from? How did that happen? How did that get in here? But the Lord wants us to be able to identify and recognize that's the enemy at work there. That's the enemy that's out trying to launch an attack here. You know, Jesus was trying to warn Peter. Peter, watch and pray. Peter, this is your time to watch and pray lest ye enter into temptation. Because Satan has desired to have you, Peter. Do you see what Satan's trying to do here? He desires to have you to sift you as wheat. To sift out everything of value, everything that's good from your life, and leave you an empty, broken shell of a person, as so many people in our world are today. But Peter, it doesn't have to be so. Peter, watch and pray. Be on your guard. That wasn't what Peter had in his mind at that moment. The time to watch and pray is not only when the attack is being launched. The time to watch and pray is also whenever it seems like all is quiet and everything is going pretty well. Maybe you ought to be even more on your guard at a time like that. What's the enemy trying to do? Where's he trying to work? Well, we know what he would do if he could. With Job, we see where the Lord put a hedge about him. And the enemy could not cross past that hedge. Could not inflict more upon him than what the Lord said, you're allowed to go this far. You're allowed to test my servant to this point, but no farther. You know, the enemy cannot cross the bounds that the Lord sets around the lives of his children. How safe is the soul that abides in the Lord? Lord, help us to abide in that safe place. The enemy, has declared war against every soul in this world. Do you know scriptures teach us that with most, he's been successful. With most people, he will be successful. But God, the good news is with us, it doesn't have to be so. With nobody does it have to be so. The Lord has a plan and provisions for every single soul. It doesn't matter the temptation. It doesn't matter the disadvantages. Look at children that are born into troubled homes and environments and abusive parents or no parents. And I think, what chance do they have out left to their own out in this world? Do you know the Lord and the grace of God appeareth unto all men and is able to snatch every soul from the burning if they'll reach out to Him in faith believing? Look at sometimes people who maybe come from very rough environments and backgrounds and sinful lifestyles, and maybe they come to a place where they make a start for the Lord and repent and turn to the Lord. And you know, the thoughts can come to our mind, but they're going to have to go back to their life, to those circumstances and those situations, and they've got difficult decisions to make. Oh Lord, help us while we see the enemy and his potential and what he's able to do, that we also have a vision of the grace of God, and where sin doth abound, the grace of God doth much more abound, and is able to keep us, to save us to the uttermost. He is mighty to save and mighty to keep. Grace like the ocean, boundless and deep. I'd like to relate a story to you from history. It's a story of a city, of an empire, who had, over the years, built in wealth and prosperity and fame and reputation and respect of the neighbors and the world around them. The city was Sardis. Read about a letter written to the church of Sardis in the book of Revelation. This was many years, centuries before that time. The city of Sardis was built atop a plateau. It was a plateau that was like a finger that jutted out from the cliff. And so they were surrounded on three sides by 1,500 foot cliffs, as I understand it, around that city. The cliffs were nearly impossible to scale. It was a nearly impenetrable city or position. Well, it grew in, again, prosperity and all over the years, to the point that this peninsula area wasn't able to contain all the city. And so they extended it to the lower part below the walls of the cliff. Well, one year, Cyrus of Persia launched an attack. As I understand it, it was the king who dwelt at Sardis who actually instigated it. He felt pretty secure and strong. And well, Cyrus of Persia launched a counterattack and laid siege to the city. And it didn't take very long until he conquered the lower part of the city of Sardis. Well, the king still didn't think too much about it, retreated to the upper part that was impenetrable. Or so it had been, and so they believed it still to be. The story goes that one day Cyrus offered a reward to any soldier who could find a way to scale those walls and get up to the city. Soldiers who were on the watch out observed a man on the wall, a soldier that was on the wall, dropped his helmet accidentally over a section of the wall or the cliff, and they observed him climbing down and picking up that helmet and climbing back up. And they observed that and said, there's a way to get up there. The rocks were, as I understand it, were of a softer material, and over time they had begun to erode, and cracks had developed, and those rocks that had become large enough for a man to pass through. And so this soldier who had dropped his helmet passed through one of the cracks of the rock and went and retrieved his helmet, and he observed that. And so the Persian army that night, a man that observed it, he tried to follow that same route that he had seen the man climb through. And indeed, there was a crack that had opened up that allowed passage of a man up to the walls of the city, and found on the walls of the city that night there wasn't a single sentry posted. And so they invaded the city, made their way into it, opened the gates, and the people, when they awakened, it was to their horror to find that they had been overtaken and their city overthrown. You know, that's not the only time that happened to the city of Sardis. The Persians set up their own rule and exerted their own influence over the city. They banned the ownership of weapons by any of the inhabitants of the city. Began to teach them their own Persian culture and influences and the arts and those sorts of things. And over the 2 centuries that followed, their rule was weakened. Alexander the Great came along and he overthrew it, and he took power and he restored the greatness as the world would think of it, remember the greatness of the city. But whenever Alexander the Great passed away, there were a number of other empires who wished to overthrow and take possession of Sardis, and they did the very same thing. They found a crack in the wall and they were able to penetrate the city and take possession of it. Scripture teaches us, take heed. He that thinketh he standeth, lest he fall. What seemed to them to be impenetrable, we're safe. They don't have a prayer here. They don't have a chance of being able to penetrate it. And they had become careless and lax in their watchfulness and their guarding of the city, thinking they were safe. Isaiah, I believe, in the 47th chapter, it talks about those who dwell carelessly, those who don't realize the danger, that don't watch and pray. You know, the Lord has called every one of us to be as watchmen on the wall. And I know that there is a place in the body of Christ that the Lord calls and appoints watchmen to call out and to cry out and to expose where the enemy is working. But you know, every one of us called to be watchmen on the wall of our own lives, of our own hearts, of our own families, to watch, to identify and recognize where the enemy is. Perhaps had they not become so careless in their belief that they were secure, they would have recognized the effects of time and the elements wearing on those rocks and cracks beginning to open up, and they would have made repairs as time went on. It is important for us to be watchful, to be vigilant of our lives and of our hearts, to realize where the enemy would like to try to penetrate. Scripture says in Isaiah the 26th chapter, Isaiah 26 and the first verse, "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks." You know, that is still true today, so many years later. There is still a strong city, the joy of the whole earth. There is a safe habitation that we can abide in. It says that God hath appointed for walls and bulwarks an impenetrable wall, salvation. Another song says, and in His grace is a hiding place unknown to any foe. You know, the enemy is a defeated foe. And sometimes we need to remind him of that. And sometimes we need to remind ourselves of that. When the enemy comes in with his threats and his overwhelming nature and presence, and it seems inevitable to remind the enemy that he is a defeated foe. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. There are strong walls to this city. But you know, it is our responsibility to make sure that those walls are in good repair in my own life and in my own heart. To make sure that the effects of time and the elements have not taken their toll. Like the man who was slothful and didn't make repairs, and the walls were broken down and had crumbled. If we get into a place in our life where we become careless, where I'm not as watchful and I'm not as prayerful as I should be, you know, the enemy is watching for the opportunity. Just like the Philistines, whenever they had encountered the mighty warrior Samson, they tried in every way they could, no doubt sent their best up against him, and come back home with a report that Samson, with the jawbone of a donkey, defeated 1,000 of them. Of us, what were we to do? We can't stand against somebody like that. Well, I'll tell you what you do. Go and lock the gates of the city and lock them in. Well, we did that, and we came and we found the gates up on the top of the hill. He picked them up and carried them off. What are you going to do with somebody like that? You can't defeat someone. You can't send your strongest warrior up against somebody like that. You can't do it. So they watched. And they sent somebody to search out. There's got to be a weak place here somewhere. There's got to be a place that we can gain entrance. There's got to be a crack in the wall here somewhere. If we can just find the crack in the wall. So Delilah, go up and search out what is the cause of his great strength. You ever read that story and say, Samson, how foolish. Samson, how could you not see? How could you not realize? What's the little saying that says, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Samson, how could you not see at least the second time? Okay, she's not who I thought she was. She's not for me. She's against me. This is the work of the enemy here. That was a close call. You know, people go through life with close call after close call, never learning a thing from it. And the enemy coming back again. I'm thinking of one place where I believe it was Ahab had defeated the enemy, and the Lord had given him a victory, and the prophet came up and said, mark what you do. Be careful. Don't celebrate too long here, because this same king, at the return of the next season, he'll be back. So go and fortify yourself. This is the time now when the enemy's not here laying siege to you. Fortify yourself. Make strong the munitions, because he'll be back. Never think that the enemy is just retired. There may be seasons of our life that it seems like things are going pretty well. Be careful. Be careful of those times. Have you ever seen, maybe played tug of war with a dog, especially a large one, a strong one, and you just can't hardly yank the rope out of their mouth? But sometimes, many times, if you just relax, let the rope go limp, the dog will loosen his grip, and it gives you the chance to pull it out. You know, the enemy doesn't mind doing that either. Don't think he's having mercy. Don't think that he's just decided that he's going to give up on you. The enemy will be back. He'll come again. So Lord, help me to be on my guard, to be watching against him, to be remembering those places even that the enemy has come in the past. Maybe he started to make some inroads, but he's not there right now. Have I fortified that? Have I defended that? Have I strengthened that area of my life? Or just because the enemy is not laying siege right now, I think, I'm doing all right. I'm doing pretty good now. And then all of a sudden, before I know it, there's the enemy back again. We are not ignorant of his devices. We have a strong city. Salvation has God appointed for walls and bulwarks. And if we stay within, say, the confines, not in that it is confining to us, but if we stay within the safety of the walls of salvation that God appoints in our lives, folks, it's a safe place. But the enemy wants to try to gain entrance any way that he can. Was driving by, it was a storage unit, building a while back, and I was driving past, I took notice of this building. All along the sides of this property were tall fences and razor wire coiled up. Well, that seems like a pretty safe place to store your stuff. It's probably not too likely that somebody's going to try to scale the fence and climb over the razor wire to get inside to try to break into the door. And then I drove past the front of the storage unit, and I noticed that there was a cute little picket fence along the front. And I thought about the security of that place. There wasn't razor wire in the front. Razor wire is not too attractive. So instead, we've got a cute little picket fence in the front. How much good did the razor wire do to that facility? Do you think if a thief wanted to come try to penetrate and get in and burglarize the storage unit, do you think he's going to walk up to the fence with a razor wire and say, "That's where I'm going in"? Or do you think he might walk around the corner and say, "I think I'll just climb over the picket fence"? And I thought about that for my life. You know, the enemy is seeking out vulnerabilities, blind spots. The enemy is searching for places that maybe right along here, I say in this line, I'm strong, I'm fortified, I'm defended. I'm not giving any ground on that. And I can look at places and my life and say, not a temptation, not a temptation, not interested, not going there. But you know, the enemy, he recognizes that, and the enemy is going to come along and keep like that lion going about seeking whom he may devour. All right, maybe I can't get you on that line. I can say, I'm strong for the truth. I tell you, I love the doctrines of the Church of God, and I do. Not interested in settling, in blending and mixing, and not interested in it. You know, the enemy has another trap for me. The enemy has another place that he's going to try to lay siege to me. And I might look at somebody who maybe is weak in the faith, or maybe they're kind of struggling along some of those lines. I'm thankful I'm strong there. Be careful. Be vigilant. Do I have places in my life where instead of a strong defense, I've got a cute little picket fence? Where the enemy is watching, looking for the opportunity. I'm not going to try there. I'm not going to go there. But that is your vulnerability. And that is a place that the enemy sees. I can get you there if I can get you anywhere. Started by saying it's important for us to see the enemy, to recognize where the enemy is working. and that it's much easier to recognize it other places and in other people. But Lord, help me to be able to see, what's the enemy doing here? Where has the enemy laid his crosshairs? What's the enemy trying to work? Because I could be focused on this area and I'm guarding the, well, think of that peninsula or the plateau of Sardis. There was one point of entry from that clifftop, and I'm sure the gate of the city was probably defended there. But nobody's getting up these cliffs. We don't need to have any sentries out there. That the enemy, while I'm looking over here, the enemy could be trying to bring something in over the picket fence. You know, the Lord is faithful. If through our watching and praying, if we'll be vigilant, if we'll be diligent, the Lord is faithful to show us those vulnerabilities, to show us those places for myself. It's not likely you come along and show, now that's Brother Rick's vulnerability right there. Lord, what's mine? And the Lord, one place said, He sent His word and tried him. You know, the Lord has a way of testing us, of trying us, to help us to recognize, you know what, there's a place here that I need to fortify. There's some things here that I need to strengthen before the devourer comes in. Scripture says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Lord, help me to see. Help me to do businesses sometimes. We'll do a vulnerability assessment. How vulnerable are we? How open are we to attack here? Do we do a vulnerability assessment? Lord, search me. Lord, try me. Try my heart, my thoughts. Lord, see if there's any crack in the wall that the enemy could try to penetrate in my own heart and in my own life where it's so hard to see. Lord, help me to be able to see where the enemy is trying to work. 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. First Peter 4 and verse 7 says, the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5th chapter in closing. 1 Thessalonians 5 and first verse, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. He has not appointed us to wrath. It's not destined to be so. I can look around at those that have failed and those that have fallen and those that have been devoured and those that have gone to the world, and the enemy's done it with me. You say, who are you to think you're going to be any different? I'm not, but by the grace of God. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And by the grace of God, the song says, 'tis grace will lead me safely home. The grace of God is sufficient to keep us. The Lord is faithful to reveal, to show to us if there's a vulnerable place, if there's an opening where the enemy could gain entrance, to show us, not for our discouragement and our despair, but to say, Lord, by your grace, I'm going to fortify this thing against the enemy. Let us watch. Let us not sleep as do others. We are living in a sleepy time, a sleepy age. Lord, help us not to get lulled into the deceptiveness of our age, of the sleepiness of our age, that we just kind of settle in and get comfortable and get numbed and just assume that everything's okay. Folks, it's not by our own strength that we're going to win this. It's not by our own defense. The watchman waketh but in vain, except the Lord keep the city. And the Lord will keep the city. But far too many people have allowed openings, cracks in the walls, through neglect and through carelessness, that the enemy can find a way to gain access into their heart, into their affections, into their thoughts and their mind, where the enemy has started to exert his influence. Lord, help us so we, in our time that we're living in, that we would watch unto prayer, because it's not the Lord's will that any should perish. And we need not perish. But if we watch and pray and trust and wait for the Lord, He'll keep us. No matter what the song says, when Satan tried his worst to do, the Lord was by my side, I knew. And the Lord will be by our side and defend us while we trust in Him and are watchful and prayerful. You pray for me. Amen.